Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode number 45 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we have a look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing too. Last week we did Boost Your Hole, and that was brilliant, with Christine Higgins from Spiritual Wellness Coaching. She does free yoga and she does free 30 minute consultations if you want them. See her on Instagram. That's spiritual_wellness_coaching with Christine Higgins. And this week I'm hoping to do Death Doula. I heard that this is such a thing. I'd never heard of it. It is like an end of life coach. And I heard that a friend of a friend is a death doula. So I'm going to chance ringing her and see what she answer and pick her brain about it. I followed her on Facebook there, or reached out, and she accepted my friendship thingy on Facebook. So she might answer the phone. So fingers crossed. She's an actress. She's a wonderful singer. Sings like an angel. She's so talented. It's freaking annoying. She's also a qualified yoga instructor. And now she's a death doula. And she's in a band or something as well. But, you know, and she has a kid and, you know, all the rest of it. But, okay, I'm going to dial her.
Hello?
Hello, is that Ruth McGill?
It is, yes.
This is Norma Sheehan. I don't know if you have my number in your phone or not.
I do.
How are you doing?
I do. Hello.
I have a very random question for you. I'm doing I'm doing a podcast about death doulas because I'm fascinated by it. I only heard about it a few days ago. And I heard that you were practicing. So I was wondering, would you give me a few minutes of your time if you're free?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to.
Okay. Basically, how did you become a death doula? When did you decide to do that?
Well, there's a family thing here with this, because my aunt is actually, she wouldn't call herself a death doula. She's like a midwife to the dying, and she has been so for about 30 years, going on 30 years or more. And that's on my father's side. And she's from Donegal, but has lived in Germany and Edinburgh and places like that. And so she's a huge inspiration to me. And she was with the family when my grandfather died when I was 15. So I watched that process of dying and the way in which she sort of held the space and gave us a container. And then when my own mom died when I was 26, she also did the same then. And so the inspiration came way back then. And then there was an offering for training. Not that it's like clinical training at all, but I saw a training being posted on Facebook, and it was sort of serendipitous because it was in my mind at the time, like, I really want to do this work, but how do I do it? And a woman in Wales was offering this course and was coming to Sligo, of all places. So I jumped on it and I applied and got in touch with her. And thus the process began about a year and a half ago or so.
God, because you were from Donegal originally, so Sligo isn't that far.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
And how long was the course? Some people call it end of life coaching or conscious death or something like that. What was the title on your course?
It was a Red Tent end of life doula training.
Very good.
So that was the one. That's the Red Tent is the name of this company that offer these trainings, and both birth doulaing and death doulaing. So that sense of one helps to bring life into the world, and one helps life to exit the world and those around and the person who's dying.
And can it be anybody from, like, is it always the person who's dying brings you in, or could it be like, say, if there was a child with a terminal illness that the family bring you in, or does it vary?
Yeah, it varies. I think it depends on the person. Obviously, I guess it's you might be there purely for the family. Yeah. If the person who's dying does not want to have, you know, because there's so much that's going on for a person, obviously. And until that time that I'm going through it, yeah, I won't fully know what the person is going through. But by your instincts, it's not a, as I said, it's not a clinical training. It's very much like returning to the roots of how we used to support people when they were dying years ago. Ireland has a strong tradition of that. And growing up in Donegal, I was just saying yesterday, actually, I was on a film shoot.
Go on, where were you on? What were you playing on the film shoot?
It wasn't even a film shoot, but I don't know how to. Oh, it's a TV shoot. Yeah, I was playing a shaman. Yeah.
Brilliant. Did you bring some of your own spirituality to it?
I did. You know, I couldn't help it, but I had to sing. So they wanted an actress who could sing, and. So, I did.
Yeah, I've already told the listeners that you're an amazing actress, phenomenal singer, that you're in a band called The Evertides. We've never kind of been in a major production together, but you've done The Gaiety, The Abbey, you've done it all, really.
Well, I've been lucky to sort of get to all those places at least once, and then some places more than once.
Have you come across any unusual cases as a death doula, like where someone you're going, you don't seem like you're going to die, but they just want to plan everything out well in advance?
The training is really me looking at my own death and going, what are the ways in which I have prepared for that in whatever way you can actually prepare for your death? But there are ways in terms of like, what would your wishes be for what happens to your body once you're dead? So in terms of the types of customers, for the want of a better word, or clients that you would have, a person might know that they have a terminal illness, but it's not an immediate sort of death that's happening,
yeah,
but they want to prepare for it in whatever way that they can, so that when the dying process time comes, that they're less concerned with the sort of worldly issues and they can concentrate on their own, like this process of leaving their body.
So it can range from, like, one person could be very practical. Like, if I was ringing you now, I'd be very much like, let's make sure there's no trail left behind. I'd want all my monies in order, enough aside for the ashes and the coffin, or depending on which route I'm going. I'd want no worries and no fights behind me, which is, you know, unavoidable probably. But do you find yourself in situations where you have to almost ask family members to back off and take it easy and, you know?
I think depending on who the person who's actually employing you for the service, you're led by that person. And if it's the dying person, then you're led by them. And any sort of, you can actually, you know, if boundaries are an issue, which they are in families a lot, where, you know, someone wants to like take over the taking care or be the, you know, that can happen. That's not to say that that's a bad person or, you know, it's just a really difficult time. But if you're there for that person who's dying, then you're sort of containing the space as much as you can and observing their wishes. So it's sort of like when you're practicing that, other people see it and they go, okay. Like they have to learn.
Yeah.
Sometimes people need to learn what people's boundaries are, and especially in the dying time, because I've had experience of it where, you know, someone can go, oh God, where the weight is upon them, and you're like, that's not helping.
Right,
right,
okay.
Now. Or it's
yeah.
Like,
It's not about you. You're not
kind
going.
Of.
Yeah.
But not in that kind of like, you know, you wouldn't scream that at a person. But I suppose by practicing what it is that, you know, this person needs at this moment, and it might be just that nothing is being said at this moment, that there's no talking, you know, that you say, you know, I think this person would really appreciate, you know, just the quiet time for you to be present, but just no talking, you know, because the energy that leaves the body when you're dying, it can be a slow process or it can be quick depending on the illness.
And I suppose having you around puts manners on people as well. I always find that when we're behaving like a bunch of, you know, muck savages, and there's, you know, you're saying things that you'd only say to family, but if there's a third eye or someone one step removed present, then it can.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's easy. I would imagine for me, I would definitely want a death doula to be there for myself, but also as a way to sort of lead people by the hand and go, you know, what about you do this? And, you know, giving people a job to do also that would be really helpful, as okay. opposed to them always being, you know, kind of habitually doing the thing that they're doing that maybe is causing a bit of distress.
So can you decide which cases you take on, or do they kind of interview you first, or how does it work?
It would be both ways, I think, because, you know, like, I think I'm trying to think of what it's like. It's a little bit, and it's not totally like this, but, you know, if you're needing to get a childminder.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, when you're like, you seem like you'd be able to do all the things, but I don't know that I have a connection with you where I'd feel like I'm still the parent. You know, that kind of.
Gotcha. Kind of, yeah. Or I really like you, but I don't see a bond between you and the 4-year-old right now. So.
Yeah.
I'll snoop around another bit and try and find someone else. Yeah,
and I guess it's because if you're engaging a doula, and if you're the dying person, let's say, then there's a sense of you thinking about death being that it's actually happening. There might be little pockets of denial there, but there's an acceptance. So I think maybe we can ask for what we need a little bit easier, and what we don't need.
If someone has already reached out for someone like you, they are not in 100% denial that they're going to die.
So yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, not accepting my true emotions, but I seem to be grand with death. Maybe I was brought up with so many funerals and we were always dragged here, there and whatever. My mother passed away, very sad. My father is still alive. That'd be very sad. But I do find it, you know, if a young person dies, that's outrageous, like it's not fair. But I seem to be okay with death. I don't know.
Yeah.
Am I delusional?
I think that that's naturally the way you are, because we're becoming increasingly living in a death phobic society where death is not seen. Like the dying process is rarely seen now. It's behind, you know, that idea of like someone that you love is in hospital and there's something huge happening in their life and you're not witness to it. I often get that feeling when I go past hospitals that there's like life-changing moments happening and no one's there to, not that you need to be witnessing, like you need to see it, but that even sense of being with someone in a natural way. I think it's why a lot of people have that want to be at home when they die.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, in itself going, I'm accepting that I'll die, but I'd really like to do it in my own way, please.
And with COVID, are you allowed near people in COVID, or is there a pause button nearly put on the process, or is it Zoom or phone, or are you allowed?
I think it's like every other way in which people have had to kind of figure out how we do this thing, how do we continue to do the thing that we do, and you find other avenues, you know, other streams kind of get created. So it is the more virtual, but it's also up to the person themselves who's employing you and the ways in which you decide in which you meet up. You might not be meeting up very much. It might be just this one job that you need to help them do, if it's just that, you know, if it is to do with.
Because I've seen a family, they you know, they lost someone very close, but they just celebrated the fact that the funeral was online, and I think thousands of people saw it rather than, you know, a couple of hundred.
Yeah.
So they turned it around and turned it into a, you know, something positive, and they have that
joyful
recording forever.
Yeah. So I think there's, you know, I mean, and it's not like it's silver linings or anything like that or in that territory, but there are things that it shows up, and actually in some ways maybe it's easier for people when it comes to Zoom to open up in a way when you're not in front of a person.
Yeah.
You know, there's that like that body response when you're in front of a person and you feel, okay, now I have to have this conversation. But actually if you're in a virtual space, you can kind of let the words bubble up, and you don't have to feel like everything is being seen on your body. If it's a family member or if it's the person who's dying who's saying, God, I really feel this urge to want to do this. And you're basically just letting the words come out. It's not like a doula is a fixer of anything. It's actually that you're holding the space for whatever is there. And it's huge when it's to do with dying.
And obviously it could happen suddenly and you're not around. But I presume there are times where you're next to the person and holding the hand to the very end.
I mean, doulas a lot of time, if they feel, and this is something my aunt always says, and actually it happened with my mum, and I was thinking of it the other day. You know, she was with us and with mum through the process of her dying process within the 2 weeks, and then she'd gone into town, and that afternoon then my mum died, and she came back just about an hour later, coming into the room not knowing, and she just walked in, and I was like, oh, she's gone, Phil. And she's like, oh, well done, Margaret. You know, she didn't feel like she needed to be. She knew that the work was done in terms of like the preparation of us to let her go.
Totally.
And the telling of her to let go, that was, she didn't need to be there for hand holding, because that wasn't necessary.
Fantastic.
You know, and I think that's what's beautiful about it. It's like, it really touches your life in a deep way when you've been given that space to
and,
do that.
And you were there when your mum passed?
Yeah, I was.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, so, and it is phenomenal that your aunt is so ahead of the game. Did you say she started out as a birth doula?
No. She lived in the north. She's got a fascinating story. She's a Catholic woman and married a Protestant man, and like in the late 60s, like all hell was breaking loose. It was just like the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
You know, her mother wasn't at the wedding, and you know, it was just. And then she lived in the north where the troubles were, and she was actually a kindergarten teacher, and then she got into yoga. So she was always kind of quite ahead of herself in lots of ways, but deeply, and I wouldn't even say spiritual, because she's kind of more than that, like hugely soulful, a beautiful voice also. And she just always had this kind of, I suppose, this way about her that she was vulnerable, you know, she had a vulnerability in her, but she was seeking always to find a way to heal whatever was.
Okay, she sounds like a. She sounds so similar to you. Is she a massive influence in your life?
She is. Yeah, she really is. She's a huge, huge influence, yeah.
And are you great friends? Like, would you talk a lot?
Yeah, we do. And my own father, unfortunately, is dying. And so the sense of the support that she is to him, and like it's coming back again, and it's further deepening that importance of my mind of the place of a doula, of a person who supports the family, the person dying.
I just love the idea. Do you mind saying what your dad is ill with at the moment, or?
Yeah, he has MND, so motor neuron disease, which is a neurological.
Yeah,
it's an awful illness, really, and it hits people in different ways. But it's been incredible to be present with him, because he's so present. He's so present in his day. You know, this the whole thing of like meditation and yoga. I was even thinking, you know, about I've always thought about Shavasana. That Shavasana and yoga is preparing you for dying, for letting go.
Yeah,
and that's why it's so difficult to be in Shavasana, because it's like, oh, come on, you should get on with the. He's gone with the living thing.
So Shavasana is that sleep at the end of a yoga class for anyone? Yeah.
The corpse pose, they call it the corpse, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that like, and lie and do, you know, do think nothing, just be. So I find him very present in his life, because that's exactly where he is. He's not living in 2 days' time. He's not, I mean, it's awful, you know, because it's an awful illness.
Am I right that the heart and the mind are usually the last to go, is it?
Yeah, the heart, I think, is always very strong, and the mind never goes, really. It's the muscles, all the supporting muscles of the body, so the breathing, the limbs. It's a very, you know, talk about noticing your losses. It's like a loss that you notice, and he's noticing, and then he kind of will say it to us, like, I feel that weakening, I feel this weakening. And, you know, as my aunt says, you know, it's to honor those losses.
Yeah.
And that makes, but the person that he is, because it's interesting, because the person that he is seems to me to become more and more, you know that thing of, like, you know, our bodies are here to serve us in this living living space, but the person, you know, when we think of the person that we've lost, and, you know, with your mum, you don't think of the body. I don't think of my mum's body. I remember her smile, her eyes, but it's that thing that made them up, that, like,
there's something special. Like, my mother's body gave up on her, I would say, nearly a decade before she passed away. Like, it was a slow degeneration of arthritis and various things in the lungs in the end. But, you know, we were told she had X amount of weeks left, and then she lasted a year and 4 months or something like that. So the quality time we got at the end, and I suppose even more so when, like your dad, when they can't physically do stuff, so you're left with completely with the person, all the fuss and activity is kind of put aside. So you're left, like, I've no loose ends with my mother because I spend so much time with her in the last year and a bit, where we weren't tearing around like lunatics.
And that means more than, I don't know, not that it means more, but there's something about that feels, I don't know if it's, you get the feeling that there's peace with her dying.
Yeah.
Like, there's a peace, that's how I felt about my mum, is like, I understood why the body was so tired, you know, and I could sense that, like, she is growing more into peace.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, would I want her to be alive and really hanging on and suffering, and why, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's awful because you don't want at all. You don't, it's not like you're going, oh, great now, you know?
No, I would say there's definitely a point at the end with my mother when the oxygen wasn't working and various things looked just so painful that I wouldn't be someone who prays, but I believe in energy and I believe in the universe and all that. So I was kind of asking some higher power, going, you know, please give her release in the last few weeks and days. But, you know, she made up her own mind in the end. I think it was like 2 days before she died, she just told the GP, you know, it seemed there was nothing in the pipeline. There was no adventure. There was no purpose to cling on with her claws to life. And she just let go, I think. Yeah. But that's...
Yeah, and that's, you know, I do think that there's that sense of, like, that control of, like, she decided when she was ready.
Yeah. And you, with your father, is he similar to your mother in that they're both strong and they'll kind of make their own choice in the end?
Well, he's a very strong-minded person, and actually he worked a lot on kind of affirmations. Talk about, like, you know, his own sister's quite ahead of herself, but he was, like, I always remember in the 90s and stuff, he had these tapes of, like, self-affirmations to kind of get him, like, thinking more, like, come on, you can do this kind of thing.
Wow.
And it's really stood to him. And we've talked about it, and I said, that's really stood to you. And you didn't think it would ever have to be for this kind of thing that it would stand to you. Because we think of, like, oh, we're going places, we're blah, 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 we're going here, we're going there. But actually, for this time when you're coming even closer to yourself, to your own life and to what it has meant, I think those strong ways of rooting yourself, and it's not like over positivity or anything at all, it's just and it's also an acceptance of what is, and going, this is tough, this is hard, but, you know, there's beauty, you know, it's like seeing the joy whilst also honoring what is really deeply sad.
Because I know we all need to work hard and strive and have, you know we love the highs and lows and all the rest of it, life is exciting, but I mean, would you say that we should kind of live every day as if, not as if it's your last, that's a bit extreme, but kind of be at peace with yourself and do the things that excite you as if it is your last day. When you've been around death so much, you know, you probably do see that the odd person who goes, I wish I didn't work so hard, or I wish I did more of that swimming I loved, or I wish I spent more time with my grandchild, or something like that. Is there any of that?
Yeah, well, I think it's like the Buddha or one of those who said, like, you should think about, not should, as in you should do this now, but like it's a really healthy thing to think about your death at least once a day. And that from that, you're not bringing it on and going, you know, it's less about like the eating yourself up with the idea. It's like, how kind can you be to yourself in knowing that one day, at some time in the future, you will die? And how kind can you be now to yourself so that when that time comes, you're not holding on to a sense of, oh God, and those regrets of the dying, when you read about those, you go, God, I've still got those points where I'm like, I would definitely have a regret about that. Definitely would have a regret about that. So it's not that I'm like, you know, I've got it all sorted out, but I really see the benefit of having been with death and being with it and seeing that it's not a thief. Illnesses consider like illnesses and the way they affect the body, they feel like thieves, that they're taking parts of what made you a person, but they don't actually, they don't fully take the person from you. Yeah. And I think they be kind to that part in you that's like gotten you this far, that went through tough things when you were, you know, teenager, like, and you got through that, and
to have no regrets, no regrets and no loose ends, and every mistake, only there is no mistake, it's just to learn. And you know, I mean, unless you're robbing a bank and shooting people, then you're an asshole, but like there shouldn't be regrets. And I do think death should cross your mind once a day. And maybe Irish people, it's around them a lot, because we do celebrate funerals for about a whole week. Mm. So where can people get in contact with you, Ruth?
Well, I do have a website.
Great.
I'm always forgetting the name of it. It's like me and lyrics of songs, constantly forgetting lyrics of songs. It's theholdingspace.ie.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful name. And you can send me on any other information, because I caught you off guard there. So thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, Norma.
That was such a beautiful chat. Oh my God. Oh, I didn't want to bore her with my old stories about my mother nearly falling through the floorboards at the wake. I think I've told everyone that at this stage. For anyone who hasn't heard it, there was so many people in the good room, you know, with the white carpets at the wake, that the floorboard started sinking and the Waterford crystal was sliding on the cabinet and the coffin was kind of tilting. So we got everyone out, reinforced the floorboards and ploughed on with it. Sorry there about the noise during the interview as well. My laptop overheated, so it sounded like there was a hairdryer in the background. And big thanks to Ruth McGill for taking my call. So Ruth's website again is theholdingspace.ie, or you can get her on Instagram, the_holding_space at Instagram. Beautiful website. Have a look and check her out. So if you enjoyed the episode, tell your friends. If you didn't enjoy the episode, shut your hole. And I've no idea what we're going to do next week, but do subscribe or like or follow or share all the rest of it. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.